Morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 through 21. Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath through the grain field, and the disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Behold, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man with a withered hand. And they questioned him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" in order that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man shall there be among you who shall have one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and he stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and counseled together against him as to how they might destroy him. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and warned them not to make him known, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope." Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning, and we just ask you to come and speak to us, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, into this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today's passage, this is a Sabbath day, and Jesus is with his disciples, and he's walking through the grain field. And basically, the disciples are picking the heads of grain and eating because they're hungry. And when the Pharisees see it, you know, they say, "Hey, Jesus, your disciples are breaking the law. You know, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath." And Jesus basically rebukes them, right? And he says, you know, "Don't you guys know what David did when he was hungry?" And he also says, "Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent?" Basically saying, you know, even on the Sabbath, the priests, the very, very people that lead you, the very people that you guys respect, you know, they also have to work on the Sabbath and they break the Sabbath. So he's basically saying to them, "You don't know as much about the Sabbath as you think you guys know." You know, and I read on the internet, on Blue Letter Bible, this little research site on the Bible studies, and it says, at this time, what the Pharisees are accusing the disciples of, it wasn't even in the Mosaic law, it was a tradition that they had made up on their own to try and make sure that they don't break the Sabbath. They had made up all these smaller laws. So it says, this was not a violation of the Mosaic law, but of scribal tradition, which had precisely determined that to pluck the heads of grain was to harvest, and to rub them between your hands to separate the chaff was milling, and to blow away the chaff from your hand was winnowing. And all of this was forbidden on the Sabbath, even for personal use. So harvesting and milling and winnowing was forbidden. So then they made up that to pluck the heads of grain would be harvesting, and to rub them was milling. So they made up all these little rules to make sure that you didn't break the Sabbath, but they missed the whole point. And they give an example here. At this time, rabbis filled Judaism with elaborate rituals related to the Sabbath and the observance of other laws. Ancient rabbis taught that on the Sabbath, a man could not carry something in his right hand or in his left hand, across his chest or on his shoulder, but you could carry something with the back of your hand, or with your foot, or with your elbow, or in your ear, your hair, or in the hem of your shirt, or in your shoe or sandal. And on the Sabbath, you were forbidden to tie a knot, except a woman could tie a knot in her girdle. So, if a bucket of water had to be raised from a well, you could not tie a rope for the bucket, but a woman could tie her girdle to the bucket to raise it up. Right? So these were kind of ridiculous, like, traditions that they had made up. But they were very legalistic about it. You couldn't carry something with your left hand or right, but if you carried it with the back of your hand, then you were okay, you know? And so they missed the point of the law, point of Sabbath, but they got so fixated upon, the letter of the law, right? And, it says here, have you not read in that law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent, right? So basically saying, the priests in the temple, they're doing work and you're not bothered about them. And what was interesting, I went to Israel one time. I went for about two days, I think, because someone blessed me with a trip to Israel to go with them. But when we were there, we went to a Jewish restaurant, and it was the Sabbath day. But people were still eating and stuff. So the eating was going on, but it was a Sabbath day. And so they, I guess, on Sabbath days, they have a Jewish Sabbath police kind of person. And he just kind of stands in the middle of the restaurant. And he kind of looks around to make sure that you're not breaking the Sabbath, that you're not breaking the law on the Sabbath. But my Jewish guy, or he was he's a Israeli guide. He wasn't really a practicing Jew. He was kind of a Christian, kind of a Jew. And he pointed out to me that that person is working on the Sabbath, but no one ever bothers to, make a deal about him working on the Sabbath to make sure to patrol the restaurant. I thought it was interesting, and that was kind of the heart of these people. They're so legalistic and so focused on making sure that you do everything in the law, but always finding loopholes to justify what they're doing. And Jesus is rebuking that kind of mindset, right? That kind of mentality. And he says in verse 6, I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. And that verse, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, it comes from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. And that word compassion is in Hebrew. So when it's quoted from Hosea 6, 6, which was, which was written in Hebrew. And the word in Hebrew for compassion is this word hesed, H-E-S-E-D. And that word, basically, it's used mostly in the Psalms to describe the loving kindness of God. When the psalmist talks about God and says, your loving kindness is everlasting, your mercy, your loving kindness, your goodness, all that. All those things, goodness, loving kindness, mercy, it's that word hesed. And it's talking about God. And it usually refers to someone from a higher place, kind of having mercy or showing mercy to someone that is in need, right? So it doesn't talk about the love that we might have for God. It's always talking about the love that God will have for the people, or love that people will have for the other person, but it's usually from someone that is higher, someone that is doing better, showing love and showing compassion, showing care to the person that is in need. It also means loyalty. you know, and duty, kind of. As in, God is loyal to the people of Israel. You know, when he talks about the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the loving kindness of God, it's not just his kindness, but it's also his loyalty to the people of Israel. Because the people of Israel did not respond necessarily to God in a way that earned them love. You know, right? They were always going away from God. They were always disobedient to God. But God remained faithful and he remained loyal. So sometimes it's also translated as loyalty. I desire loyalty and not sacrifice. But anyway, what I think is interesting is that when God says, I desire compassion and not sacrifice, basically his reason for that is God is also one to show compassion and loving kindness to people. You know, as in, it's the same kind of idea in 1 John, when John says, we love because he first loved us. You know, it's the same thing. Because God is one to show loving kindness and compassion to the people, God wants us to step forward and show compassion and loving kindness. Instead of bringing judgment and instead of bringing condemnation and being a mean, you know, to people that are in need, people that are broken, people that are sinning, God actually desires us to be like God, who showed mercy and compassion to the people that were living in sin, you know? And because God always showed mercy. Even though God is brutally, you know, strict about his righteousness, and he's insistent upon people repenting and living in righteousness, even more insistent than the righteousness that he wanted from people, he was insistent upon showing mercy to people. You know, because he showed mercy, because he's a just God, but even beyond the justice, he wanted to show mercy to people to bring them back into repentance and into righteousness and back into relationship with him. And so, yeah, you know, we love because he first loved us. We love and we show compassion because God first showed compassion and loving kindness to us. And then in verse 8, Jesus says, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And so again, Jesus, like yesterday when he invited people to come to him, here Jesus is again claiming his deity, basically. He's claiming that he is greater than the temple. He is greater than even the Sabbath, that he is Lord of Sabbath. And Jesus is the only one, you know, that can claim something like that, you know. And he's really the only one that claimed to be God, you know. He had the audacity to do it because he knew that he was God. And so, yeah, Jesus is claiming, making a claim to deity in himself. And then we read about Jesus healing on the Sabbath, right? And I think this is just an example of God showing compassion. You know, it's an example of God's compassion. He's hesed, basically, his loving kindness and his mercy that he shows to the people. And the last thing I wanted to point out was, you know, he does the healing, and the Pharisees start counseling to think about how they can destroy him. And Jesus, in verse 15, it says, Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him. He healed them all, warned them not to make him known, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. And there's a quote from Isaiah. And Matthew will keep doing that. You know, from the very beginning of Matthew, Matthew keeps quoting the Old Testament to say, well, Jesus did this, and this was to fulfill this kind of prophecy in the Old Testament. And this, you know, Jesus would do something else, and he would say, this was to fulfill this prophecy from Isaiah, and this was to fulfill this prophecy from the Old Testament. And Matthew keeps showing to the Jewish readers that's reading the gospel, saying, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one that the Old Testament prophets prophesied about. And he wants to show them that he is the Savior, he is the chosen one, he is the Messiah, he is the one that is fulfilling all the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. And that's why he keeps quoting the Old Testament to show that, yeah, Jesus fulfilled prophecy. And one of the reasons why, you know, we can say confidently that Jesus is the only way, that he is the right way, is one of the reasons is that he had fulfilled prophecy. You know, some of the things that he fulfilled, you know, like being born in Bethlehem. You know, Jesus had nothing to do with it, but God fulfilled it in Jesus, and it's a way to show that, yeah, he is the one that the Old Testament prophets prophesied about. And yeah, so those are the things that I wanted to share. And this morning, as Samantha is going to come and lead us in worship, let's just meditate upon that verse, you know, in verse 7, where God says, or Jesus says, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. And remember that God is the one who first showed compassion to us. You know, it's his loving kindness, it's his mercy. And also, as we experience his compassion and his mercy and his love, that we would go out and show that to other people around us, in the church maybe, that you're seeing, you know, that person is not living right, or, you know, that person, we can so easily be judgmental, we can so easily just be legalistic, but remember that God desires compassion even more than a sacrifice.
Freedom reigns in this place.
Let's pray together. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our church members. Who might be struggling. You know, that's, if they're struggling with or sin or some difficulty in just coming to God, let's pray for God's compassion and His mercy. Let's also just thank God for freedom. You know, He set us free from the law, right, of sin and death, and really gave us grace and mercy. So let's pray that our church members that might still be struggling with sin and still be just not doing so well in their relationship with God will be able to really experience God's compassion and His mercy, and that they would be able to really come back to God. So let's pray for our church members together. Pray for our house churches today. It's Robinson Road House Church, Kowloon House Church, McDaddy House Church, Tregunter House Church, and Causeway Bay. Let's pray that as they meet for the last time for this season, that they'll have a wonderful time of just getting together and just for God's presence to be really manifest in that meeting, and for people to be able to open up and to really share. So let's pray and cover our house church's meeting tonight. let's pray for our mission focus. Again, Hunan team's leaving today, so let's pray for the Hunan team that they'll just have a good time going together in safety on their way there, that they'll just have anointing from God to really minister. Let's also pray for our Indonesia trip and the Bhutan trip. Let's pray that God will be with Pastor Sam Kim as he prepares and plans for the trip, and just that they'll have a wonderful time there, Indonesia and Bhutan. And lastly, for missions, let's pray for the missions committee. You know, they're having to make a lot of new decisions for this year especially. So let's just pray for God's wisdom and clarity, and that they'll be able to really hear from God and make the right decisions. So pray for those three things: the Hunan trip, Indonesia, Bhutan trip, and also the missions committee. Let's pray together. One more thing. This is just a one-off kind of thing, but a couple that I knew, it's Adam and Liz, they just had a miscarriage. So if you could just cover this lady, Liz, and just really pray for God's mercy and grace. As you can imagine how difficult it might be for her. So they're just some people that I know. So you can cover for them, Adam and Liz, and especially for Liz. And also, as you pray for that, let's also pray for our church. Let's pray for the building search and just our whole move and our whole direction of the church, you know, where God wants to take us, and that our church would be in the right place, that we would stay obedient to God, and bless the building search committee and the fundraising committee with good ideas and perseverance. Let's just pray for the whole thing. We thank you this morning. We praise you and we worship you. You're worthy of our worship this morning, God. You're worthy for us to come early in the morning and to really just to worship you, God, and to praise you, and to behold your glory, to behold your beauty. So Lord Jesus, we just worship you this morning, and we thank you, God. As we spend some time in prayer, Holy Spirit, would you come and really speak to us, and would you really draw us closer to yourself? Bless everyone that's here, God, as they go about their day today. I just bless them with your presence. with your peace and with the full armor of God, you know, that they'll be protected from the evil one, that they'll be able to have victory today, God, in all that they do. And may we glorify you and bring a smile to you, to your heart today in all that we do. So watch over us, God. We thank you. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.